children, time to awake from your sleep. Rise to a new day with each your soul to keep. Come, my children, time to awake from your sleep.
Hello and welcome to the Enlightened Medicine Show with Dr. Valerie Olmsted, the holographic physician. And before we get started, let me mention Hydrame Skin Nutrition. If you haven't tried it out, please do so. You can find their excellent products at www.hydrame.com. That's HYDRAME.com. It's all organic, natural skin nutrition that you spread on your skin, and it just eats it up so you can feel like you're a little kid again. Because, you know, when you're a little kid and you wear your food, that's because that's how you eat it to begin with. Anyway, so tonight we're going to talk about some serious stuff, some health updates. And I kind of got on this for a number of reasons. One thing is because we were talking about the, you know, the swine flu and the mandatory vaccinations and all of that kind of stuff. That's pretty serious business. There's a lot of things going on in the world that you may not know about that are very, very serious business, and pretty much everything's engineered to kill us. So, you know, that which does not kill us makes us stronger, as they say. So I'm going to talk about some of those things tonight. If you have any questions, please do call in. And if you have any information about things, you're welcome to call in also. And one of the things I wanted to mention is I put up the recipe for Thieves Oil on the info section. So either you can get to that by clicking on info on the index there by my radio show, or you can click directly on the Enlightened Medicine Show, and it'll be displayed on that page that comes up also. Now, the reason I'm bringing that up is because of all the hoo-ha about the swine flu, which, as you know, is a made-up pandemic. It's not really a pandemic. It's a bunch of BS. So I'm going to talk about that a little bit today. I did pull some things off of the internet, but first, so the first thing I want to talk about is botulinum toxin. Now, you might have heard about botulism. You know, if you eat canned goods that are spoiled, and you know they have the botulism toxin in there, which is, you know, is pretty common. Botulism is in our earth, in dirt. It's pretty easy to get. It's what causes it causes a shutdown of your organs, basically. Okay, it's not tetanus, it's, you know, but it's similar in a way in that it is something that will go in and do what they call a fomenting infection. Bacteria can multiply extremely rapidly under the right conditions. And so it's usually much more dangerous to have a bacterial infection than it is to have a viral infection, because viruses are self-limiting, and bacteria are not. Bacteria will go until you kill them or they kill you. So the problem with botulinum toxin is that this is what they call Botox. Okay, so all the people that are getting this stuff injected into their muscles, you know, to release the wrinkles and all that kind of stuff, basically paralyzes your muscles. Now, when you get an infection with botulism, it paralyzes your breathing muscles, it paralyzes everything, just all stops, you know, wherever it is. The toxins that the bacteria gives off are the problem. They're called endotoxins. So it's not really the bacteria itself, it's what it produces. It throws out a lot of garbage, and it's too much garbage, and it paralyzes the system. So many, many years ago, the medical doctors decided that, hey, we could use this to paralyze the muscles in your face. And, you know, you have to keep getting the shots, but it gives you that beautiful, smooth, unlived-in look. Well, the problem with that is that if, by some chance, those toxins get injected incorrectly, you can be faced with more than just, you know, paralysis of a few muscles in your face. So now they finally come out with something. The FDA has announced revisions to both the prescribing information and the names of the botulinum toxin products. That's because each product has a different dose. So if you're one of these people in L.A., in Hollywood or whatever, or in Washington, D.C., you know, all places where you Palm Desert, Palm Springs, you know, Sea Island, and, you know, all these places where you have to look beautiful, and this is your choice of doing it, then I would say be really careful. Make sure that your doctor is aware that one Botox product is not the same as another. They have very, very different dosages. If you get the wrong dosage, it can kill you. So you've got to be careful, okay? And, yes, Carla, they are nuts. That's what I've always said. I'm like, hey, I earned every one of these wrinkles. Now, I do know how to take them away. That involves fasting and cleansing, and it works. But you know, why worry? You know, live life. Anyway, so what the alert was that they sent for MedWatch, which is the FDA Safety Information and Adverse Event Reporting Program, they sent out this update on safety alerts on 4 botulinum toxin drug products. They all now have box warnings on their labels, which means they put a black box around it. Okay, so like, hello, you know, notice this before you give this stuff. And they have medication guidelines for patients. So the following revisions to the prescribing information of Botox/Botox Cosmetic made by Allergan, Inc. and MyoBlock made by Solstice Neurosciences, Inc. have been made. A boxed warning now highlights the possibility of experiencing potentially life-threatening, hello, did you get that? Life-threatening distant spread of toxin effect from the injection site after local injection, and a risk evaluation and mitigation strategy that includes a patient-directed medication guide has been issued. So changes have also been made to the established drug names to reinforce individual potencies and prevent medication errors. Now, I'm not going to tell you all the drug names. You don't care about that stuff. You can ask your doctor if you're really interested in this. So this kind of highlights what I've been saying since the very beginning. And, you know, I am so I get you know, kind of some warnings about different things here and there. And, like, I knew all about AIDS way before, you know, anybody knew about that stuff, too. But with this kind of stuff, I think, like anything else, you have to ask yourself, is it worth the risks that are involved? Is it really that important to you that a couple of the lines on your face are relaxed, that you would go and put yourself at risk for a life-threatening spread from the local injection site? All that has to happen for that to happen is that the doctor punctures one of the little capillaries in the face, and the face is full of capillaries. Those are little teeny tiny blood vessels, okay? They kind of, you have an arterial side and a venous side. They come together in the capillary. The problem is that if any of the toxin gets in there, it can go scooting along through the rest of your blood system. If it goes directly to your heart, then your heart gets paralyzed for like months. And you can't do without a heart for months. You can't do without a heart for a couple of minutes. So these are things that, you know, are pretty serious. So if you know someone who's considering Botox, I would say, you know, you might want to have them really look into it, okay? So that's one thing. Then, of course, that led me into looking at bacteria. So what we have here is we have... let me just check something here. I've got so many windows open on my computer. I'm trying not to ignore anybody that calls in. Trying to keep an eye on the fast chat, too. Okay, so bacteria, you might have heard about MRSA, which is methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus. Now, we all have Staph aureus on our skin, all over the place, and in our mouths and everything else, but it's pretty common on the skin. We have, I don't know, usually about 15 major bacteria that live on our skin pretty much. You know, we don't live in bubbles. We live out in the world, and we're running around. We're doing all kinds of things and coming into contact with all kinds of people and animals and bugs and, you know, yada, yada, yada. And there's more and more of this stuff happening as the planet warms up, which, by the way, has nothing to do with pollution. As much as I hate pollution, I got to tell you, this global warming thing is a bunch of crap. And there is no science to support global warming caused by pollution. And now, finally, the scientists are starting to speak out against it. So, Al Gore, up yours. Anyway, anybody that really is intelligent can look at this stuff and go, oh, no, 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 I don't think the pollution caused the Earth and all of the other planets in the solar system to heat up exactly the same amount of degrees. Anyway, on to other things. So, with this MRSA, community-acquired MRSA, you know, you've heard that, you know, if somebody gets that, they're pretty much dead. Well, not really. But the problem is you can't use methicillin against it. Bacteria are adaptive, just like people are. Okay, everything on Earth is made to adapt. there are different ways the different antibiotics go in and kill a bacteria. Some of them punch holes into the cell wall, and it lets in the light and other things that kill the bacteria. Some of them keep them from replicating. Some of them might dissolve the whole cell wall. Some of them might, you know, cause the bacteria to go crazy. And there's all kinds of different ways to affect a bacteria. So with methicillin, which is in the penicillin family, all the cillins, okay, are related. The problem with that is, you know, we started out using penicillin a long time ago, and it was a wonder drug. Before penicillin, we pretty much had garlic, which, by the way, garlic is still working and penicillin isn't. So that's kind of an interesting thing. But penicillin is the mold that grows on bread and oranges and stuff like that. And we look at it and go, ew. But, you know, that's what grows the penicillin. So, you know, we have this symbiotic relationship with the earth that we live on. And if we would just let things happen naturally, it would not be near as disastrous as the New World Order people would try to have you believe. All right, so back to the MRSA. So there's a new strain that has been identified in pulse field gel electrophoresis as type US-300. So that carries the MEC4 gene, which confers resistance to methicillin. So that bacteria has created its own genetic structure to resist methicillin. Okay, it often also has the genes for Pantone Valentine leukocytin, PVL, which is associated with tissue necrosis. So, you know, the flesh-eating bacteria disease, okay, that's what necrosis is. So a national study of 5,000 healthy U.S. citizens showed only 0.4% to be nasal carriers. So you carry it around in your nose. Remember, I said it's all over your body. Now, the people who work in hospitals are more likely to be the ones that carry this methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus, because for a long time we've been squirting the air out of syringes and getting a little bit of the penicillin and the methicillin and the vancomycin and the clindamycin and the tetracycline, all these things. They get squirted up into the air. This is why you have superbugs in a hospital, because the bacteria there have grown resistant to this stuff. So every healthcare person pretty much is carrying this kind of stuff in their nose, at least. And they are pretty much immune to it because they're around it all the time. But other people are not, particularly babies and people that are immunocompromised. Okay, so now we go to the risk for outbreaks. They were described as the four C's: contact, contaminated surfaces, crowding, and cleanliness. So this applies to outbreaks in correctional facilities, among military recruits and athletic teams, and in daycare centers. The characteristic infections are furunculosis and a necrotizing pneumonia, which often represents an influenza superinfection. So furunculosis is where you get, it's kind of like a boil, okay? Necrotizing pneumonia means that the lung tissue is being eaten up by the bacteria, which means it no longer acts as lung. And then you get a superinfection with Haemophilus influenza, the flu. So the clinical features of the pneumonia cases include high fever, tachycardia, which is a fast heartbeat, effusions, which is pericardial effusions and pulmonary effusions, things like that, or like excess fluid that shouldn't be there and make it impossible for the organ to work. Hemoptysis, which is spitting up blood. Neutropenia, which is a problem with the white blood cells, and shock. So optimal treatment is somewhat enigmatic, they say. Most strains are sensitive to tetracycline, trimethoprim-sulfamethoxazole, TMP-SMX, and clindamycin, as well as vancomycin and linezolid. Most soft tissue infections respond to drainage regardless of the antibiotic given. That means if you have a big boil, you go into the doctor and we lance it and we clean it out and we put an antibiotic in and give you an antibiotic to take by mouth. Many pneumonia cases are lethal regardless of aggressive antibiotic treatment. Now, why is that? If you look at it, your lungs are moist, and they have areas of the lung that are not oxygenated really well, like the far reaches, especially if you're a smoker. They have a lot of liquid that is supposed to be full of macrophages that will go in, and white blood cells will go in, and they will eat up the bacteria. That doesn't always happen. because some of these bacteria can kind of create a calcified lump there where nothing can get at them. So if you get something in your lungs, it's really serious. You know, and there are plenty of people that have died of pneumonia. Most of the time when somebody dies of a flu, it's because they got a pneumonia that didn't respond to treatment. So other presentations reinforce these observations. In a review of 111 patients hospitalized for community-acquired MRSA, showed that 89 had staphylococcal cassette chromosome, MEC4. The dominant site of infection was skin and soft tissue, 79% of those. Sensitivity tests showed the following drugs to have activity in the test tube. Rifampin had 100% activity, clindamycin 94%, gentamicin 99%, tetracycline 75%, TMP-SMX 75%, and ciprofloxacin 84%. Now those are all really heavy-duty antibiotics with severe side effects, and you can only take some of them for a few days. Things like gentamicin, you have to have a peak and trough level drawn if you're on this for more than a week. It can cause permanent damage to your auditory nerve, deafness. It can cause a lot of problems. Similarly, a review of 135 skin and soft tissue infections that required hospitalization in 27 hospitals in Los Angeles County showed that 81 involved MRSA. 77, or 95% of these, were U.S. 300 strains and all carried the MEC4 gene, and 92% had the PVL genes. That means it's pretty serious stuff. Now, we have a lot of things in the natural world that'll kill that stuff. It's not related to penicillin. It's other things. You know, the things work in different ways. Garlic is a great one. You can still do garlic poultices. At this point, with all the things that I'm seeing presented to humanity, I am starting to tell people they need to start to learn the old cures. Now, sometimes the old cures don't work, but a lot of times they're the only thing that will work. So it's time to start dusting off grandma's, you know, kitchen remedies and start looking through those things and seeing what you can use that can really help you and stockpile that stuff. You know, colloidal silver is great, and I think I told you a month or so ago that the EPA is trying to get it declared as a pesticide and poisonous, which is another crock of BS. But anyway, we have to kind of all pull together on this stuff, people. Our communities have to come together, and we have to be able to help each other. Okay, let's move on to the swine flu. And you guys, if you have any questions or if you want to make any comments, call in. You know the numbers. They're right there on your screen. So call in on Channel 2, and we'd be happy to air your comments. Okay, now the swine flu. I've told you before, this is the biggest crock of BS that I have ever heard of. This was a weaponized flu vaccine. They got this by digging up people who had died in the 1800s and the early 1900s from the flu. They got the genetic structure, and they weaponized it. Now, the problem is that they are going to make it mandatory vaccinations. And the thing that spurred this show tonight is because I saw a little news item that's being sent out by the pharmaceutical companies and the AMA, and they're basically saying that it's now recommended beyond a shadow of a doubt that all school children should be vaccinated against this swine flu. I have a problem with this, and I hope that you do too. First of all, the vaccines are deadly. Okay, they might not kill you right away, but they will eventually get you. There's a number of reasons for that. The vaccine supplies have been infected with simian virus 40 for a long time, started out with Merck, and passed into all these other strains. The problem is that simian 40 virus causes all kinds of strange cancers. Nobody knows what to do with, and we're seeing a lot of that popping up. I've seen a lot of that in my practice. I've seen things where I sent people in to have the surgeon take out the lump that I found, and the surgeon has been freaked out because they've never seen anything like it before. And they're calling it not cancer, and then they look at it closer and realize it is cancer. It's a brand new form of cancer. This has been happening in a lot of organs. So, you know, we know that simian 40 virus causes these kinds of things, and yet those vaccines have never been taken off the market. They're being given to everybody that wants one. With the swine flu vaccines, they have weaponized it in such a way that it's dangerous to people that are taking it. And if you look back at what happened during the big flu epidemic of 1918, or the Spanish flu, or whatever you want to call it, that killed so many people, it wiped out the healthy people, not the ill people. Now, if that's a weaponized virus, I don't know what the hell it is. That's crazy. But that's what it killed. It killed preponderantly between about, you know, late teenage years to late or mid-40s. So it wiped out that section of people that's really vital for everything in the world. Most flus are going to wipe out a certain percentage of the very young, like babies, and the very elderly, and people that are immunocompromised. But what's happening in our viral picture nowadays is that the pharmaceutical stuff, the concoctions that they're giving people, is wiping out your immune system. And there's something like 30 injections now that are required if you have a baby in the hospital. So what you have to do is you have to stand right there and say, if you try to give my baby that shot, I will break your flipping arm. And I have a friend that actually did that. And, you know, they wanted to put the silver nitrate in the baby's eyes, and he refused that, too, because that causes a lot of problems down the line. And they said, well, we have to do this, you know. And he said, why? And they said, well, because, you know, to protect against gonorrhea. And he said, her mother does not have gonorrhea, and I do not have gonorrhea, so that is totally ridiculous. There's no need to wipe, you know, to put that stuff in my child's eyes. So you really have to stand strong, because if they get a chance, they're going to pump all this crap into your kid, and the immune system will never be the same. It will not be able to withstand all this stuff. So it creates further problems down the line. We're seeing all kinds of really bad chronic illnesses developing from this stuff. All right, so let me read something I found on PrisonPlanet.com, Alex Jones's site. The preparations are clearly being geared towards a mass rollout of the swine flu vaccine, in other words, a mandatory distribution. Time magazine has been dutifully preparing Americans to accept this premise, reporting on April 28th that a mass vaccination program is being readied to combat swine flu, while also urging Americans to trust that the government is working for the greater good and to not resist draconian measures. And I've said it before, I'm going to say it again. If you think that somebody that's from the government is here to help you, you need more help than I can possibly give you, okay? Because you're nuts. So, and remember, I don't like crazy people, so I don't want to have to deal with that. All right, so going on. A concerned citizen called the Arkansas State Health Department for advice on what he could do to opt out of the vaccine, only to be told that mandatory vaccines were constitutional and could be enforced at gunpoint by the government if necessary. This is just unbelievable, people. One of his main concerns centered around the fact that the company chosen to mass produce the swine flu vaccine, Baxter International, were recently caught in a scandal after it emerged that they had sent out vaccines contaminated with the H5N1 avian flu virus to 18 countries from their Austrian branch. That's live flu. You remember the bird flu scare? Oh, everybody's going to get bird flu. Oh, we're all going to die. They sent it out live. 18 vaccine batches. Okay? 18 countries. It was only by providence that the contamination was found after the batch was first tested on ferrets in the Czech Republic before being shipped out for injection into humans. The ferrets all died, and the shocking discovery was made. Poor ferrets. Some Czech newspapers speculated at the time that Baxter was embroiled in a conspiracy to provoke a pandemic from which it would reap billions in profits from producing the vaccine to counter a bird flu outbreak. So, this is a problem, obviously. Okay? The last time the government ordered a mass vaccination drive in response to a swine flu outbreak, the program had to be stopped shortly after the shots caused over 500 cases of Guillain-Barré syndrome, a severe paralyzing nerve disease. 30 people died as a direct result of the vaccinations. Guillain-Barré, it's spelled like Guillain-Barré, but it's pronounced Guillain-Barré. It's a complete paralysis. It is a devastating disease that some people recover from and some die from. I remember when I worked at the ER in Las Vegas, and one of the ER docs, in fact, the head of the ER, had structured his insurance policy for him and his wife for something just like that, and she got Guillain-Barré from one of these shots, a flu shot. Now, this was back in the 80s, and she was sick for almost 6 months, I think it was, in the hospital. She was in ICU for a couple of months on a respirator. This woman was not the same person when she came out. She never recovered fully during the time that I was there. I mean, she was walking around, but she was a shadow of her former self because it hit every organ system and caused huge, huge problems. So this is not something that you want to get. Most people are going to die from that. They don't have the kind of insurance that will cover that. Then I was laughing because I found a couple of comments from readers on PrisonPlanet.com, so let me read you one of them. It's so funny. My three-year-old, who received most of his childhood vaccines up till now, came down with the flu. Which flu is uncertain, as I didn't bring him to the hospital to get checked. I just treated him here with lots of fluids, Tylenol, and vitamin C. He was sick like a dog for about 2 days until it weaned off, puke and all. My 10-month-old, who has never had a vaccine, despite being around her brother, picking up his contaminated cups and spoons and sticking them in her mouth, never got sick, not even a sniffle. I wonder if this is a sign. I actually think all those antibodies that got produced in his body from the vaccine is keeping his immune system too busy to fight any infection that comes around. I am not immune to chickenpox nor rubella, as I was tested during my pregnancies, and haven't had a flu shot since grade school. I barely get sick, and myself, I didn't get sick despite picking up puke and cuddling my sick three-year-old. My son will probably be more susceptible to diabetes or other autoimmune diseases when he gets older. Without an actual disease for the antibodies to fight, they will most likely go after the closest DNA or RNA strain in the body, thereby attacking a body part rather than a virus, probably where things like psoriasis, diabetes, mental illness, lupus, and other autoimmune diseases come from. True. Okay. Then here was a reply from V. If you've seen the movie V, you know, V for Vendetta, if you haven't seen it, go get it. I think we all need to go buy ourselves some of those masks. And we need to start, you know, going after these people that are doing this crappy stuff to us. Okay, so this is the one who posted the Thieves Oil Blend. This blend was created from research about a group of 15th century thieves and grave robbers who rubbed oils on themselves to avoid contracting the plague while they robbed the bodies of the dead and dying. When apprehended, these thieves disclosed the formula of herbs, spices, and oils they used to protect themselves in exchange for more lenient punishment. This blend of therapeutic-grade essential oils was tested at Weber State University for its potent antimicrobial properties. Thieves' oil was found to have a 99.96% kill rate against airborne bacteria. The oils are highly antiviral, antiseptic, antibacterial, anti-infectious, and help to protect the body against such illnesses as flu, cold, sinusitis, bronchitis, pneumonia, sore throats, cuts, etc. Apply a few drops to bottom of feet or stomach and rub into skin. Here is the recipe for the mixture. Place into a small brown bottle and add the amounts of herbs listed below. Clove oil, 200 drops or 1/2 ounce. Lemon oil, 175 drops. Cinnamon bark oil, 100 drops. Eucalyptus oil, 75 drops. Rosemary oil, 50 drops. You can also use it in a small spray bottle and mist the air in home and car. I also place mixture in a pan of water and place on wood stove during the fall, winter, and spring. I personally use this for winter and spring season as we don't like getting sick. You may have to try a few websites to get the correct ingredients. If you go to an herb store or GNC type shop, they will charge you four times the price you will get from their store online. GNC sells all the essential oils and an herb shop will have the dark bottles. Say no to mass vaccines. I agree. I keep telling everybody, you know, don't get the vaccines. It's like the worst thing you can do. Okay, then I went on to wanttoknow.info about the mandatory swine flu vaccinations. And there I found Department of Homeland Security officials are declaring that any disease outbreak is a matter of homeland security. Department of Defense officials are defining public demonstrations as low-level terrorism. In some states, doctors have persuaded legislators to quickly pass pandemic influenza legislation that will allow state officials to enter homes and businesses without the approval of occupants, to investigate and quarantine individuals without their consent, to require licensed healthcare providers to give citizens vaccines, and to ban the free assembly of citizens in the state. So, welcome to Nazi USA. I mean, I knew when Homeland Security came in, that was the first branch of Nazism in the U.S. that was public. And especially when I read that they had made it legal to shoot to kill tax protesters. Now, if you haven't heard that one before, I bet you're sitting back in shock now. That was one of the first things that they came out with. And that's the law. So if you protest paying your taxes, they can now kill you. Nice, huh? And now they're going to mandatory vaccinate everybody. And I'm here to tell you, I will not give people vaccines. I don't care what they do to me. I refuse. It's like I refuse to give chemotherapy to people either. You know, it's murder for money. I'm not going to do it. So, you know, it's about to heat up into something real serious here. And everybody's going to have to take a stand, because if you don't, it's going to be worse than what happened in Nazi Germany. Way worse. Because now you got the whole world that's coming in on it. By the way, there are several countries now, including Germany, Greece, the United Arab Emirates, England. There's a whole bunch of countries that have already written into law mandatory swine flu vaccinations. And they have purchased millions of bottles of this stuff. I think I saw in Britain it was 16 million doses. So, you know, the pharmaceutical companies are rubbing their hands over this one. And, you know, that'd be a real big boost for the hospital industry and the mortuaries and, you know, all kinds of places. So it's going to save the economy. So be good little sheeple and just go get your swine flu vaccine. Now, here's the truth. The swine flu has turned out to be little more dangerous than the average flu. The majority of those who have died of swine flu have had other health complications which played a decisive role in mortality. So this is fear-mongering, as happened previously with the avian flu. Yet the pandemic of fear continues as plans are well underway for a massive vaccination of the public with a vaccine that has only recently been developed and has undergone very limited testing for possible severe side effects. According to the CDC, approximately 36,000 people die each year in the U.S. from the regular flu. That averages to about 100 people a day. The total number of confirmed mortalities in the U.S. from the swine flu since the virus was identified in March is less than 200, less than the number of people who die in 2 days from the regular flu. Yet don't be surprised if you soon start to see propaganda for mandatory vaccinations starting with our children. Mandatory vaccines bring billions of dollars to big pharma and more control for politicians. Plans have been made and laws have already been passed to restrict constitutional rights during a pandemic. And in spite of the low severity of the swine flu, a pandemic of the highest level has already been declared by the World Health Organization. At worst, these new laws can be used to declare martial law and suspend constitutional rights. At best, many will likely be injured or die from vaccine side effects, like during the swine flu pandemic in 1976, in which a national emergency was declared even though only one person died of the flu. Dozens died that year as a direct result of the massive government vaccination program against the greatly feared flu. I got that flu back then, and I got this flu back in April, too. Or March, whatever it was. And, you know, it was miserable for a few days. The one in 76, I think I was sick for about 2 or 3 weeks. Most people were sick for 3 months. This last one, I was really sick for about 3 to 5 days. So it's not nearly as bad as some. And remember, the flu mutates, so the farther it goes, the more it mutates and becomes harmless. So now is the time to educate yourself on the power of the multinational pharmaceutical companies to manipulate government, to incite fear, and to reap huge profits. Read the revealing words of the former editor-in-chief of the prestigious New England Journal of Medicine at this link, and this is off of What You Need to Know. BotulinumToxin.com. By educating ourselves and those around us, we can stop the greedy drug companies from wreaking havoc on our health and political systems. Please read the excellent article on this topic by the president of the National Vaccine Information Center. Do your part to spread the word and take action for the good of us all. And another one by Stephen Lendman. On July 13th, the World Health Organization Global Alert headlined WHO recommendations on pandemic H1N1 2009 vaccinations suggest that universally mandated ones are coming. It stated that on July 7th, the pharmaceutical industry dominated Strategic Advisory Group of Experts, SAGE is their acronym, on immunization held an extraordinary meeting in Geneva to discuss issues and make recommendations related to vaccine for the pandemic H1N1 2009. There's no pandemic, nor until recently a single death anywhere attributable to swine flu. Yet WHO said the virus is considered unstoppable. While admitting little evidence has spread so far, most cases are mild and many people recover unaided. Nonetheless, all countries will need vaccines and should follow these priorities as initial supplies will be limited. Immunize healthcare workers to protect the essential healthcare infrastructure. By the way, there's a lot of healthcare workers that now have MS because of this, and they are getting rheumatoid arthritis. They're getting all kinds of autoimmune diseases from the swine flu vaccine. And remember, healthcare workers are the ones that would be there to help you. So, you know, they are creating a pandemic with their flu vaccine. Okay, pregnant women, children over 6 months of age with one or several chronic medical conditions. Healthy young adults aged 15 to 49, remember that's the sector that gets killed by the swine flu. Healthy children, healthy adults aged 50 to 64, and finally healthy adults aged 65 or older. That's the order that they want to vaccinate people. WTO suggested the risks in stating new technologies are involved in the production of some pandemic vaccines, which have not yet been extensively evaluated for their safety in certain population groups. As a result, post-marketing surveillance and post-marketing safety and effectiveness studies are essential so the countries can adjust their vaccination policies. Ay, ay, ay. All right, another one from Prison Planet. Pharmaceutical companies can be assured that they won't face reprisals for the many thousands of injuries and deaths that will inevitably occur as a result of exposing millions to mercury and squalene during a mass vaccination program, because the government has already acted to provide them with blanket immunity from lawsuits. How's that? You like them apples? Vaccine makers and federal officials will be immune from lawsuits that result from any new swine flu vaccine, under a document signed by Secretary of Health and Human Services Kathleen Sebelius. That was reported by the Associated Press last month. So how are you liking this so far, people? Are you happy about what your government's doing for you? Mm-hmm. All right, enough about the doom and gloom about the swine flu. I've said it before, I'm going to say it again. You need to fight to not be vaccinated. And there are plenty of people, I've been looking at the websites, you know, different comments are being made on many different websites about this. And the little people, the sheeple as they like to call us, are getting their arms together. They have guns, they have ammunition, and they are not going to be vaccinated. They are going to stand there between the government and the children, and they will not allow this to happen. So the government needs to get wise. Because all it's going to take is a group of citizens getting killed and or a group of military getting killed, and we will be in civil war. So if that's what the government truly wants, they're going to get it. They're going along about it just right. You know, they're going to force the hand of the citizenry, and the citizens will stand up. They will take the government back, and there'll be a lot of bloodshed over this. You know, which on the one hand is really good, because if everybody was sleeping, you know, we would be in a totalitarian state for sure. So this kind of stuff has to happen. Spiritually, it has to happen. People have to wake up. And yes, you are being challenged to take a stand. If you don't take a stand now, God help you. All right, on to some other news. You know those new environmentally friendly light bulbs where they passed a law that said that you couldn't use regular incandescent bulbs anymore after a certain time? I forget when the cutoff is, but they won't sell anymore. All you're going to get is environmentally friendly bulbs. Okay, our normal bulbs cause little or no electromagnetic radiation. Energy-saving light bulbs, however, cause significant radio frequency radiation at frequencies between 25 and 100 kilohertz. Measurements of the independent French research shows that the radiation levels for energy-saving light bulbs are up to 1 meter distance, will still be at very high levels. At 20 centimeters from the lamp, the radiation level will be at 120 volts per meter, or 180, I'm sorry. These measurements were recently repeated and confirmed by a study of the Flemish Institute for Technological Research. Health organizations and expert committees argue that the radiation levels are no problem because the international standards for radiation are respected. However, these standards are strongly criticized by a growing group of scientists who claim that these standards are too lax and can cause cancer. Maybe they're kept low because of the industrial lobby and their political puppets. Gee, you think? There's more. Hang on, I got to scroll down here. Okay, so they warn us, therefore, that energy-saving light bulbs must be kept with distance to be successful, and that they shall not be used at your desk or bed or to be used for reading. The European ban on incandescent lamps, however, will lead to many more people to use energy-saving light bulbs at work and or bed lamp with high exposure to electromagnetic radiation as a result. In addition to the radiation directly emitted by the energy-saving light bulbs, there are indications that so-called dirty electricity will emerge. This means that the radiation emitted by the saving lamp will allow the radiation to move along the electric wires in the house, which creates an additional exposure to electromagnetic radiation in other rooms. A study published in the scientific journal, the American Journal of Industrial Medicine, suggests that exposure to dirty electricity leads to a significantly increased risk of cancer. Investigation of the Canadian scientist Magda Havas points to the possible harmful effects of dirty electricity. Overall, it can be said that there is very little research done into the possible harmful effects of energy-saving light bulbs and that they can cause cancer and or brain tumors. It is very worrying that light bulbs will be banned without more research done into the effects of energy-saving light bulbs on the public health. Yeah, well, what else is new? Energy-saving light bulbs or saving lamps contain 3 to 5 milligrams of mercury. Mercury is a substance which is extremely harmful to humans, animals, and the ecosystem, especially for the brains, the nervous system, liver, and kidneys, because the substance is highly toxic. Fetuses, infants, and young children are most vulnerable to exposure to mercury because of the negative impact on developing brains and nervous system. Mercury can also cause harm to the cardiovascular, immune, and reproductive system damage and may lead to tremors, emotional instability, memory loss, insomnia, neuromuscular changes, headaches, cancer, and Alzheimer's. Oh, boy. You know, I know that this has been kind of a depressing show, and I'm sorry about that, but you guys really need to know what's going on there. Really. And so I hope you forgive me for kind of, reading some upsetting stuff to you, but you really did need to know. And so I hope that you will take this information and at your level in the community, do something about it. You know, I don't know what else. I mean, we've got to do the grassroots thing. And we've got to stand up in every community. We've got to get the people around us. We've got to put our feet down. We've got to say no. Absolutely not. You will not do this to us, and we refuse to do that. And blah, 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 blah. Do whatever you have to do. Well, we still have the right to free speech, which, you know, if the New World Order gets it their way, through our president, by the way, and the Congress, we will be unable to even protest. So it's very important that you see what's going on now and you stop it at whatever level that you can. And honestly, I'm thinking about, when I get some land, I'm thinking about going back to the old way of building the house. You know, saws look pretty good to me right now, you know. And I have said for a long time that in a bedroom, I don't like to have anything electrical in the bedroom at all. Now, there's things that you can do. You know, you can go to the Less EMF store, other stores like that, that are online where you can buy all kinds of things. You can get paint that stops EMFs. You can get make curtains out of basically it's very thin silver and copper wires. And, you know, the people wearing the tinfoil on their heads and, you know, putting tinfoil over their windows and stuff. You know, that's a pretty good idea, actually. You know, and say everybody thought they were crazy, but no, they're not. They're actually, they know what's going on, you know, and they're protecting themselves. So I guess the best thing that I can offer to you guys is, you know, first of all, know what's going on in your world. And programs like this one and the other programs that are on BBS Radio are dedicated to that. The guys that own this station are very concerned with the state of humanity. That's why they started this station. And I don't know if all you listeners have been around from the very beginning, but the two guys, I mean, they put everything that they had into it. And they have selflessly operated this radio station and endured attack after attack after attack from hackers that did not want this information to be out there. And they're standing there. They've drawn the sand in the line, and they've said, we're not budging, and we will get the truth out there as much as we can, as long as we can, and nobody's going to stop us. And I'm saying the same thing, and there's a lot of hosts on BBS Radio that are saying the same thing. We're all drawing the line in the sand, and we're ready. And we are not going to allow our rights to be usurped. And we're hoping that the rest of you guys that are listening will stand with us. Because if you don't, it's one of those things where, you know, if there's one guy standing there, they'll steamroll over you. If there's a million of you standing there, there's more of you than them, and they'll run in the opposite direction. So we have safety in numbers, and we need to use that. And maybe we don't know everything that's going on behind the scenes, but the bad guys are counting on that. They're counting on us not knowing. And all the spirits that are there to help us in the other dimensions and on the other side, they will not help us. They're standing by and saying, it's your planet, it's your life. You make the stand. If you make the stand, we'll stand with you. But we're not going to stand in front of you. You have to decide yourselves. So if you're waiting for the spaceships to come and lift you off and save you, it ain't happening. Okay? You have to make the stand. We have to do whatever needs to be done on this planet. And any help comes after that. So it's up to us. This is part of our graduation ceremony. You know, have to grow some cojones, you know, as they say. Get some hair on your chest, you know. We have to be standing there and saying, no, I'm not going to take this anymore. You know, this is not right. It's unacceptable. And screw you guys that are at the top. You know, we refuse to do this. And they will do everything they can to manipulate you into letting them control you, because that's their game. So what we have to do is stand up and say no. And, you know, I mean, you know, people say, well, what if they get rid of all of us? Like, well, you know what? They'll get rid of those of us that are standing, and the rest of the people will have to suffer horrible things. We'll be done. We'll be out of here. We won't care. But at least we'll have taken a stand. So worst case scenario, we're out of here. Best case scenario, that would be that the grassroots people wake up and that they stop this insanity. They take the planet back, and that we all create the better world that we deserve. It's up to us. So anyway, I'm going to sign off a little early tonight. So unless somebody's going to call in and make any comments, I'll give you a few more minutes to do that. But then other than that, I think I've preached enough. I'm going to get down off of the soapbox here, unless somebody gets me all riled up again. And I know I've given you a lot to think about, a lot of things you need to consider for your health and your life. And as Tiny Tim said, God bless us everyone. And may we get the strength and the courage that we need to deal with this. It's a lot of stuff to think about. I know. But they're hitting us from every angle that they can. They're hoping to overwhelm us. So, make your decision. It's time. Okay. I'm going to go ahead and sign off for this week. So please think about what I said. Please figure out what you're going to do. And be prepared for whatever's coming. And in between, enjoy your life. All right. Again, this show has been brought to you by Hydramay Skin Nutrition. Fabulous organic natural skincare. And your skin just eats it up, and it's good for you. It does not leave a smell, has a smell when it goes on, nice almond smell, and then it goes away. And so it's very clean. I like these very clean things. It doesn't leave any residue on your skin. Your skin just feels soft. So please try those products out if you haven't yet. And until next week, be happy, be healthy, and be who you really are. Nighty night.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do